probably the most active thing in our Christian life is not necessarily grace, but it is faith. It's what God has given us whereby we can go through life and live because of that great faith in Him. And praise the Lord this morning. There comes a time when the faith is going to end and we're going to be with Him. No longer any need for that. It's sort of like that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. There comes a day when we will not need prayer any longer because we'll be with Him. And there's coming a day for the child of God that faith will end because we will experience and our faith shall become sight. And a good song. I appreciate that. And praise the Lord, touching my heart on those thoughts that were given. Now, Brother Gallagher this morning challenged me to a challenge. If you was in Sunday school, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to have to say I can't do that. Y'all knew that. Now, I know you knew that. His challenge was to have a message 8 words long. I know a lot of preachers, and I don't know a preacher that could do that. Jonah did in our Sunday school lesson. His message was 8 words long and had great, maybe we ought to do 8 words if we could have that kind of response. A whole city. I think it's 120,000 people in that city. And the scripture says they all came to know God. They believed God. Just simply because 8 words that Jonah spake to them. What I did, I had to look at my title. I said, well, I can have something, surely, 8 words. I had my original title to the message was 6 words long, so I expanded it and get it a little bit longer. This morning I'm going to be giving you some thoughts on the many things we have in Jesus Christ. Now that's 8 words. Should we stand and go home? That's what he was getting after, I know. 8 words, we have prayer, we go home, and we eat before all the crowd gets there and enjoy. But sometimes I have 8 pages of notes, much less 8 words. And don't worry, this morning I don't have that many. But there are some things that you and I share together. And this morning, primarily, I'm going to be dealing with those of us that are born again. Probably most of us in here have made a profession of faith, and you know your heart, whether or not it is right with God, but we've made a profession of faith in the Lord, and we are called God's children. We're called His, and we're part of His family. And we've gathered here this morning as a family to worship the Lord. And in that worship, we all share some things together. And too many times Christians get at odds against each other, and sometimes that happens, and I don't think it should ever happen, but it does. And sometimes friendships are broken because of some misunderstandings, and we find out that we maybe don't share all the things that we maybe that we should. But this morning I want us to just sort of come together as a group of people, different walks of life, different things that we do. But yet, as a Christian, as a believer, we share some things together that are very wonderful as a child of God. And we have it because of Him. The message this morning that Brother Gallagher gave us in the book of Jonah, the message was because of God. And it was because the Lord had impressed upon Jonah and God gave the message to them. And a great response was there in chapter 3. And what we have this morning is because of Him. And if you look in your Bibles, you'll find that the little phrase, in Christ, is used 78 times in our New Testament. 78 times some writer of one of the books, some of the books of the New Testament, uses the little phrase, in Christ. And we are in Christ this morning. We think about Christ being in us, and the Holy Spirit indwells us, and He does do that. But important, just as important, if not more, is that we dwell in Christ and that we have some things in common in Him. We have the little phrase, in Him, most of the phrases there, 70 times. Most of those, that phrase, in Him, references the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all of them, but most of them are referenced to our Lord. So here's 148 times, if we used all of them, let's just say 135 or 140 of those times are referencing who we worship, who we serve, who we love, and the one that is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we are in a family that we share some things together. Your family, at your home, you have things that you share together as a home. You have things that are there that is just for you and your family, and that should be that way. But the world out here before us does not understand what we have. They do not understand the blessings that God has given unto us. If they could only know the good things of the Lord, if they could only experience, if they only had any kind of understanding, spiritually speaking, of some things that they also could have, what a wonderful time and what a wonderful world it would be. If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, and we'll begin in verse number 1 and read down through verse number 4. The many things we have in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's go ahead and read down two or three more verses. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, those things that are just listed, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, I pray now that you'd take these words of your scripture, bless them to our heart, open them to us. Lord, give us thoughts and even the imaginations of our heart that would be applied to these things that we share as a child of God. We love you. We thank you for all that you have done, and we thank you for what is yet in the future for us, your people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the world around us only knew some of the things that we have, if they could only just experience the forgiveness of sins. You and I this morning, we have experienced God saying, forgiven. Certainly we are not perfect. We are not without fault. We are not without sin, but we have, thank God, have been forgiven. If the world could only understand that and know that, if they could only be saved and know the truth of what salvation is all about. Today, as we sit here in this auditorium, we find that we are here experiencing the blessings of God because of what Christ has done for us in our life. If the world could know that, that would be a wonderful thing. They can know that if they would just believe, and someone would be to go tell them. We have a great gift this morning of the Holy Ghost in our heart. We have the peace of God. We have the understanding of the Lord that we can go and tell. We have a conscience, I hope that we can say, is pure. And the scripture says we have joy unspeakable and we're full of the glory of the Lord. If the world could only get just a little taste of that, it would change their way of life. It would change their thought pattern. It would change their worldview. It would change everything that they have. And we can tell them and we can give them the message that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them. We can tell them that hell is a reality, that it is real and something that needs to be considered. It's a fearful thing to understand that there is a hell to shun. We can tell them that they need to continue if they continue in their walk of life as they are. They will die without God. They will die without hope. But we can tell them that they don't have to be on the broad way and the broad road that leads to destruction. They can enter into that narrow way that leads to life eternal that Jesus told the people around him there in Matthew chapter number 7. When you look at the masses of the world, and sometimes it would do us good if we would just sometimes look at a large group of people and begin to wonder how many of those folks really know the Lord. We are in the season of the World Series, and it gathers a multitude of people every game. And you look at that stadium, you look at that gathering, and it doesn't matter if it's a baseball game or a basketball game. Doesn't matter if it's college or professional. It doesn't matter where it is. The stadiums are full when those activities are going on and people root for their teams and they desire to do that. But it would do us good every once in a while as a Christian, even though we are maybe a part of that in our attitudes, it would do us good as a Christian to wonder if the Lord came at this moment, how many would leave? If the Lord was to appear and we go to be gathered to him, how many of those folks would leave their place and their seat in the stadium and the stands? How many places would be left empty? I'm afraid there wouldn't be as many as we would want. And so we need to understand, we need to realize that the world out there, they don't live the same way we live. They don't think the same way we think. They have their family. They have their way of life. And it's a way that is without God. It's a way that is without hope. It's a way that does not have any joy before it. And the future is dark and bleak and grim because they know not our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, Paul said, I believe in the book of Hebrews, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The salvation that God has bestowed upon us, the salvation that God has freely offered and given to us upon our reception of that faith that he desires for us to have, is truly a great salvation. And it should be cherished by those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be cherished in our heart by those of us that know him as our personal Savior. For we have had some things taken away from us. We're no longer in despair. We no longer have that despair in our life and that defilement. We no longer are under the wrath of God and the destruction of God. We have a home in heaven. We have a joy that is set before us. We are no longer under the damnation of dying without God. And so these things have been given to us, and that causes us to realize what we do have is a great salvation. It's not something that we just flippantly have. It's not something that didn't cost anything, even though it's free. Salvation is a free gift of God. It doesn't cost us one red penny, doesn't cost us a quarter, doesn't cost us a dollar, doesn't cost us anything. It is the free gift of God. But I'll tell you what, the cost was great to bring it to you and I. The cost was none other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have much because we are in him. We have much because we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. In our verses this morning that we read, especially the verses 1, 2, and 3, and 4, Peter sets forth some wonderful truths concerning our salvation. It is called a common salvation. Now, the word common there does not mean that it's just something that just does not matter. It's just a common thing. But the word common means that it is common to each of us. If I have it, you have it. If I have certain blessings, you have the same blessings. There's none of us that are higher than anyone else. for we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. There's none of us that's more important than someone else. From the pulpit to the pew, we are no different. God made us all the same way, with the same attitudes, the same motivations, the same sins in our life. We are people that are very well the same way, and God gives us a salvation that is common to every one of us. And what a wonderful thing that we do have. In verse number 1, Peter tells us some things. First of all, who he is. He says, Simon Peter. And we know much about Peter. We could take time this morning and give a lot of things about this disciple that was called Peter. He had his faults. My goodness, he had some things that I wouldn't want in my life, but I'm sometimes afraid they are there. He had some activities. He had some words that I wouldn't want to have. And he had some problems in his life. But he was a disciple, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he got things straightened out, when the Lord took care of those needs in his life, as he grew in the grace of the Lord, Simon Peter now tells us not only who he is, but he tells us what he is. He's a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So here's his standing. He is a servant. He does not demand someone look to him in high regard. He's just a slave. He's just a servant. He's a bond servant because he desires to be where he is. He's not there because he has to be. He's a servant because of what the Lord did for him. And so Simon Peter opens up this second epistle that he writes, and he tells us his name, tells us who he is, tells us what he is, and tells us who he serves, Jesus Christ, and then he tells us who he's writing to. Now notice what he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. You and I this morning, as a believer, as a Christian, we have something in common. We have a like precious faith. It is a faith that has removed our sin. It is a faith that has put us in a standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a faith that has removed the faults and the failures and has put us in a position that we can be called the sons of God and the children of God. Faith brings a relationship with Christ that is very, very precious. Back in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2, Peter writes to in verse number 7, verse number 4 through 7, he says, to whom concerning, as unto a living stone disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. You and I this morning, we need to realize what we have, that we have Christ, chosen of God and precious. That stone that the world says they do not want, it's a precious stone. It is a delivered stone. It's a stone that's been chosen of God. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. You and I this morning, we are offering up spiritual sacrifices. When we come together in the house of God, we're sacrificing, we're giving our time, we're giving our talents, we're giving our tithes, we're giving all the things that God has given to us, and we are building up in our faith because we are of a precious, precious faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that precious stone. He says, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture. God says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. That's Jesus Christ. And he that believeth upon him shall not be confounded, or he's not going to be confused. If we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have some understanding in our life. And this morning, as a child of God, as a Christian, we have this together, and we share this together in our life. He says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He is writing to believers. And he says, to those of you that believe, he, that elect, chosen stone of God, who is none other than Jesus Christ, Peter says, that individual, he is a precious, precious person. Thank God this morning, there's no one greater than our Lord. There's no one better than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is precious. He is one that is, there's no one like him. There's no one that can come up to his standard. There's no one that's any better, and there's no one that can outdo our Lord. And this morning, we share that like precious faith. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And so we have some things this morning concerning that like precious faith. Faith brings a fellowship with saints that is common. Jude chapter 3, he says, "I give all diligence to write unto you of a common salvation." Again, it's not not something that's just common and doesn't mean much, but it's common to you and I because all of us have the same thing. It is obtained the same way. It does the same thing for the youngest to the oldest. It is a common salvation that God has blessed us with. This morning, whatever Brother Darrell has in his heart concerning salvation, I have that. Whatever Miss Barbara has, you have. And you just can intermingle words and people's names in there, and we have it because it's a common salvation to every one of us. And we don't get it because of our good standings. We don't get it because of our good works and the great deeds that we might accomplish. We don't get it because of the bank account that we might have or any of those things of the flesh. We have it because it is a common salvation to everyone that will believe. He tells us there's a common salvation. Jude says, "It's needful that I write unto you and exhort you that you contend for the faith." That common salvation, that faith of God, there's some things that are just worth fighting the battle over, and faith is one of them. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 4 says to Titus, "My own son, after the common faith." So we share this together. It is a common salvation. It is a common understanding of the Lord. It is a common belief of the Lord Jesus Christ, that like precious faith. That one that Peter tells us here, "I am an apostle, I'm no better and different than anybody else." And he said, "I'm writing to those of you that have obtained like precious faith." We have different testimonies. In our camp meeting back a couple of weeks ago, we had a morning that people were testifying about where and when they got saved. Nobody had the same testimony. It wasn't in the same place. It wasn't with the same preacher. It wasn't in the same church. It wasn't in the same year, the same month, or the same day. But it was a common salvation. The result of it is that it established something in our heart that we can go back to and to realize that we have, without a doubt, experienced this thing of saving grace. So it's a common faith that God gives to us. Not only do we have a like precious faith, but we have a standing with the Lord. Look in verse number 1. He says, "Obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." I have a personal standing with God. And whether anybody likes it or not, we are. And we don't like to use that word much because we know we're not what we think of it. But in the sight of God, we are righteous. His blood has been applied. Our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been cast away from us. Our sins have been forgotten. And so when God looks at me and when God looks at you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what He sees? He sees that finished product. He sees us for what we shall be. He sees us for what's in the future. He sees us that when we stand before the Lord and we've lived our life and we've given up the ghost and we go to be with the Lord forever and ever, and we are standing before Him perfect and pure, and we are standing before Him righteous. And every one of us this morning has that as a common understanding and a common belief of salvation. My question, people may question our righteousness, but God does not question it as long as we have it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in the book of Romans, "For I know that in me," he says, "that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." In my flesh, in your flesh, nothing good dwells in that. For it may be good for a little while, but it'd be tainted by sin somewhere down the road. And so Paul, the great missionary that he was, he said, "I know that in my that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." And so personal righteousness is not with what we find; it's in what He found and what He gave to us in our salvation. We have a unquestionable standing with God. We can question a lot of things, and sometimes we do question spiritual things. But I still think you can go back, when you can go back to a time and a place, to a moment that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that is an unquestionable standing that you have with God. He seals it in our heart. We know that we're going to heaven. And even though we understand no good thing dwells in my flesh, but I thank God I'm standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has forgiven me and made us righteous. And what I have is what you have. That's that salvation. That's that faith that we all share together. We have a grace that endures, grace that is abundant. Verse number 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied. We have a grace that endures the test of time. It's an abundant grace. It's an available grace. It's grace that's multiplied. It's grace, thank God, that's sufficient. In everything we do, God's grace is there for us. And it can be multiplied to us. Grace and peace be multiplied here in verse number 2. It is a grace that is available to every. It says God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all this, that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. His grace is available. His grace is abundant. His grace is sufficient. I don't see how I can get through this in my life. I don't see how I can go through that. His grace is sufficient. His grace has brought us to the point of understanding salvation. His grace brings us through the problems of life, the difficulties of life. That's that sufficient grace every day of our life, just like Paul had in his life. There was things that bothered him, and God says, my grace is sufficient. If we were to go around the auditorium this morning, and if we would be honest, now we're not honest. There's some things we don't need to be honest about. But we can be honest with God because He already knows it. And when we go around the auditorium, if we could ask and be honest, what really bothers you? What is that sin that so easily besets you? We'd find there'd be a lot of different answers. What might bother you? I'd say, well, it don't bother me. But I've got something in my life that would bother me. And what bothers me may not bother you. And that sin that easily comes at us. And by the way, nobody else may know it, but I'll guarantee you the devil knows the sin that easily besets you. And he'll bombard your life, and he'll tempt you, and he'll test you, and he'll try you. And he'll put that temptation before you. And thank God we can say his grace is available. His grace is sufficient. He's able to do that. So we have a precious faith, we have a standing, we have a grace that will endure the time that has been multiplied to us, that is sufficient for us. And in the strength of the Lord, our flesh can be made perfect and be made right, and we can rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 2 also, he says, the knowledge of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, grace and peace be multiplied. Not only do we have grace, but have peace. This morning, as a Christian, there may be some unpeaceful things going on in our life, but our soul lives in peace. Our soul lives in that realm of where we know the Lord takes care of us, where we know that He'll deal with us and He'll take care of us with every need that we have. Peace in the midst of a storm. That's why the Apostle Paul could say there in, I believe, Acts chapter number 27, that great storm rose, and he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God. He said, I belong to him. And he said, he told those men on that ship, he said, fear not. Fear not. Don't have the fear. Why? What is the opposite of fear? It's peace. And Paul said, I've got great peace that we're going to be delivered and God will take us over to the other side. Peace in the midst of the storm. Problems of life come to all of us. And I'll tell you what, they're real. Difficulties come and problems arise. But I'm glad God is there to help us. And as a Christian, we all have this peace that passes the understanding of God. Peace in the midst of the storm peace in the midst of sorrow. Sorrows come, trials come, testings come, confusion comes, difficulties arise. But aren't you glad this morning that we have a Lord that lives within us and we can call upon Him? He'll answer us. He'll supply every need. He'll give us every direction that we need to take. These are things that we have in common. If you're a Christian this morning, you understand that we have peace. If you're a child of God this morning, you understand we have a salvation that is so very magnificent and wonderful. If you're a Christian this morning, you have experienced the grace of God. If you're a Christian this morning, you experience the peace of the Lord. These are things that we build together as a family of God. We have the power to go through those different things. He says in verse number 3 where we read, according as His divine power, He hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness. We have power this morning to overcome. I am, you are, an overcomer. I'm glad I don't have to wait and see if I might make it to heaven to see if I overcame. I'm glad I don't have to hold on, hold out. I'm glad I don't have to work. I'm glad I don't have to do all those things that the world, that religion tells us we have to do. But I'm glad, thank God, I'm already an overcomer. I'm already that one that has the blessing of the Lord, and the victory is ours, and one day it will be ours. And He says here in verse number 3, He says, according as His divine power, that's speaking of Jesus, hath given to us. Who's He writing to? Verse 1, those that have like precious faith. Who's He addressing? It's those that are born again, those that are Christian. And so He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What is your life? God has given us all things that pertain to life. Life, of course, is the activity that goes on while we're on the top side of God's earth. Life is what takes place as we live our days out, as we go through the walk of the Lord. Life is that which God has given to us when we come into this world and we continue through the world, and one of these days we'll leave this world. As the song she just sang a moment ago, faith begins. Faith has a beginning and it does have an end. Life has a beginning. I'm sorry, the world doesn't know when it begins. And that battle goes on and rages continually, but life begins in conception and continues on until God calls us home. And so we find that we have a beginning and we do have an ending. And God, He has given us those things of life, those things that are pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Thank God this morning, as a Christian, I have the ability to overcome this world, overcome evil, overcome Satan, overcome self. I have that ability within me because God has blessed us all together with those things that are common to the child of God. We're building a house together and we're working together and we're serving the Lord together, so therefore we have the same things. Back in the Old Testament, there was a time when man thought he was going to be smart and he was going to build a tower that reached to God. And they were just building away and thought everything was well. And all of a sudden, God came to them and confused their languages. And they couldn't work anymore. You know why? They didn't have anything in common. But you and I this morning, we have some things in common. And we can build our life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We can build our life and our families and our homes upon the basics of the things that God has given to us. He gives to us the reality that He has been so good. He gives to us the reality that we have a changed life. Everyone in this auditorium this morning, your life has been changed. Maybe some more than others, but there is a change that took place one day. Verse number 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's been a change that takes place. There's a hope of eternal life. He tells us here that there's a reality that we have a new life, and it's by faith. One day, and I don't know what day you might have in your life, but there was a day that you came to know you as a sinner. I don't believe anybody ever gets saved until they realize they're lost. Until a person realizes they're lost, there's not a whole lot you can do if they think they're okay. But you see, by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God and by the preaching of God's Word, we come to realize I'm lost. I don't have what the Bible says I need to have. And I come to realize that I need something, and I have to have a life that's been changed. And so Peter says here, he's given us precious promises that by these you might be partakers of a divine nature. Now, I'll tell you what, the divine nature is a change from the old nature. The old nature says, I don't want any part of that. The fleshly man, the fleshly nature of mankind doesn't want the spiritual things of God. They rebel against it. They fight against it. But when we come to understand our need, then God gives to us a new nature. Praise the Lord. A new nature that sees the world different and sees things different and attitudes are different, and that which we used to enjoy doing, we don't enjoy, and that which we used to hate, now we desire it, and because of a nature that's been placed upon us. Every person that lives upon this earth has one of two things. They have one nature, which is lost, or they have two natures. And we haven't got rid of that old nature yet. Don't ever think you've arrived. How many times does that old nature, that old person, raise his head up and say, boy, you need to do that. And that divine nature says, no, you don't need to do that. The old nature wants it and desires it. The fleshly man, the fleshly person, the flesh of mankind desires fleshly things, worldly things. The Bible says that we can enjoy sin for a season. We can enjoy life that the world offers, but we only enjoy it for a little while. But that divine nature says, yes, but I've got a life that you can enjoy throughout all eternity. And every one of us this morning, we have that. Things that we have in Jesus Christ. We that have been called by the grace of the Lord. We that have that like precious faith. We have an eternity. He says here that you might escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. And we have the precious promises that we might be partakers of a divine nature. That divine nature will carry us from this life unto that life. It is available to those that will believe, and when we believe, then we have eternity. Eternity lurks before every man and woman, boy and girl. Nobody's going to escape it. Everybody's going to go into eternity. We go, we make our trip into that realm that is called eternal. When we draw that last breath and our spirit soul leaves the body, we go into eternity. It's an eternity of life, or it's an eternity of death. Those that enter into life will be living for all ages to come. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Thank God this morning we share the understanding has no power over us. Why? Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is before us, or hell. This morning in this auditorium, we can rejoice that as a Christian, hell is gone. What a wonderful thought. Hell's gone. I'll never look at it. I'll never experience it. I'll never see it. Because one day, He made me a new creature. And you and I, as a believer this morning, we share these wonderful things. And just as hell is gone, thank God, heaven is a reality. John 14, my Father's house, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is a reality. And every person in this auditorium this morning, one of these days, I don't know when or where or how or any of the details about it, but every one of us in this building, somewhere in the future, if the Lord doesn't come, we're going to face the reality of death. Now, we don't like it. We don't want to talk about it. I don't like to go to funeral homes. I don't like to go to hospitals. I don't, because all that's the process. I hate going to a cemetery and having those final words over the body of that person that has gone. I don't like that. But we're all traveling that direction. And I'm glad this morning that every person in here this day that's saved, and I'm just in my mind saying all of us, one of these days, as a body, as a people, as a church, we're going to experience the same thing, and it's called heaven. What a wonderful blessing it is to be a Christian. I have like precious faith. I have grace. I have peace. I have faith. All these things I've mentioned, we all share equally. We're all sharing the same thing the same way, equally, because of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And yes, in my Father's house. And you can say that, in my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. You can say that. I can say that. And then He says, I will come again, and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a wonderful blessing it is to be a Christian. We take it for granted so often. We just sort of let it slide by. Maybe it's not as important as it should be. But these things that we have, the overcoming, the changed life, the eternal life, the peace of God, the grace of God, the standing with the Lord, the precious faith, all those things we share equally. Thank God this morning for salvation. What a wonderful thing it is to be not only called a Christian, but what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. Let's stand together this morning.